translation. Long, long ago, in another Mahakalpa, millennium of Brahma, I existed as the Gandhava known as Upabharanaha. I was very respected by the other Gandhavas. Purport by His Divine Grace Srila A.C. Bhaktivedanta Swami Srila Prabhupada. Srila Narada Muni is giving a practical example from his past life. Formerly, during the previous lifetime of Lord Brahma, Narada Muni was one of the denizens of Gandhava Loka, but unfortunately, as will be explained, he fell from his exalted position in Gandhava Loka, where the inhabitants are extremely beautiful and expert in singing, to become a sudra. Nonetheless, because of his association with devotees, he became more fortunate than he was in Gandhava Loka. Even though cursed by the Prajapatis to become a sudra, in his next life he became the son of Lord Brahma. The word Mahakalpe is described by Srila Madhvacharya as Atita Brahma Kalpe. Brahma dies at the end of a life of many millions of years. The day of Brahma is described in Bhagavad Gita 8:17. Sahasrayuga payantam ahayad brahmano vidu ratrim yuga sahasrantam teho ratra vidogana. By human calculation, 1,000 ages taken together is the duration of Brahma's one day. And such also is the duration of his night. Bhagavan Sri Krishna can remember incidents from millions of years ago. Similarly, his pure devotee, like Narada Muni, can also remember incidents from past life millions and millions of years ago. Om Maganatimarandasya Gananjana Salakaya Chaksurun Militam Yena Tasmai Shri Gurave Namaha. Namom Vishnu Padaya Krishna Prista Bhutale Shri Mati Bhakti Vedanta Swami Dinamine. Namaste Saraswati Devi Gauravani Pracharine Nirvisesha Sunyavadi Pastaja Desitarine. Vancha Kalpataruvischa Kripa Sindhubi Vacha Patitanam Pavani Bio Vaishnavi Bio Namo Namaha. Jai Shri Krishna Chaitanya Prabhu Nityananda Shri Advaita Gadada Srivasadi Gaura Bhakta Vrinda. Hare Krishna Hare Krishna 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 Hare 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 Rama Hare Rama 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 Hare Hare. So, as the verse explains, a long, long time ago, Narada Muni was existing in Gandhava Loka. It was a beautiful Gandhava. Now, I have a confession to make this morning. I haven't had time to do my homework, so I don't remember the specific pastime. Prabhupada says it's explained later on, it's coming, but does anyone actually remember specifically the pastime that occurred when Narada Muni was cursed by the Prajapatis? Srinivas Prabhu. Ah, yeah, that's right. That's right. So why did the Prajapatis curse him? That's right. Okay, so did everyone hear that? So that's the pastime. Narada Muni was in Gandhava Loka, and as we understand, you know, it's a very beautiful place for heavenly enjoyment. So Narada Muni was there. He was enjoying the association of so many beautiful women. And he's doing kirtan. But he wasn't glorifying the Supreme Lord. He was glorifying so many demigods, etc. So when the Prajapatis saw this, they were displeased and they cursed Narada Muni. And I'm wondering if this curse at all interlinks, because I remember there's another pastime. The Daksha is the head of the Prajapatis, isn't he? And when he's progenitor of mankind, so He's produced by his wife, I think, 10,000 children. And then he ordered his children, you now go and, you know, create progeny. So they're all very highly qualified children, thousands of them. And they go to, like, perform to pasture, but their performance of to pasture is to bring, you know, good souls, good children into the world. But when Narada Muni came along and he saw them and saw how qualified they are and they're performing such nice to pasture, he thought, well, you know, why allow them to become entangled in family life? And he preached to them. And so they all became renunciates. And then Daksha saw this, he became very upset with Narada Muni. But he went, I believe he then went and had another 10,000 children, 1,000 sons, excuse me. Told you I didn't do my homework. So anyway, he had a lot of sons by our calculation. But again, Narada came and preached to them. So this time, Daksha, he cursed Narada Muni that you'll never be allowed to stay in one place for, I think, more than 3 days, is it? Yeah. So therefore now Narada Muni, and he's got the best passport. He can travel everywhere. Because it's through information like this that we can understand. Look at the perspective we've been given in the Bhagavatam here. Without these scriptures, you know, what little would we know by our own pratyaksha, isn't it? Our own direct sense perception. What would we come to understand about our situation? And through the information that we have in the Bhagavatam, we understand that we're here on planet Earth, but planet Earth is one amongst a whole planetary system. It's 14 planetary systems, and there's the lower planetary systems, there's the higher planetary systems, and Earth is situated in the middle. So just like here, where Narada Muni's been on Gandhava Loka, it's a place of great heavenly enjoyment. And you get to go there if you're very pious. And I believe Prabhupada said, Srila Prabhupada initiated something. I read something recently, because I never knew about that, but I read somewhere recently Prabhupada initiated about 10,000 people. Does anyone know? I'm saying this number 10,000 a lot today, but I read it somewhere that Prabhupada's initiated that many people, and I think Prabhupada said that like 90% of his disciples are going to go to the heavenly planets. So there's something to think about, you know. Do we want to be one of those 90% or something else? Because as the verse is explaining, Krishna, he can remember things from millions of years ago, and so can his pure devotee, Narada Muni, but we can't remember, you know, something from not very long ago, what to speak of a past life. Sometimes devotees have a recollection of their past life, and, you know, sometimes can be helpful. Sometimes we like to, or at least speaking for myself, you know, Prabhupada says he's the one that gave us our qualification for coming to Krishna consciousness. But sometimes we like to think, yeah, but that might be true for everyone else, but not for me, you know. I was a yogi in my previous life or whatever. We like to, you know, fantasize, think like this. But, you know, is it really so important to know what we were in our past life? What is really important is, you know, what we are doing, where we are in this life. And Krishna explains in Gita, after many, many births, someone comes and surrenders to him. But, you know, what are the symptoms of that surrender? Someone is truly surrendered, it's explained, has that vyavasayatmika buddhi. The intelligence is completely fixed on Krishna. It's not distracted by anything else. It's fully focused on attaining Krishna in this one lifetime. Now, for a lot of us, it's not quite like that, you know. We have some degree of faith, but our determination is very flickering. And it's a lot to do with the nature of this age. It's the nature of Kali Yuga. We're lazy and we're misguided. So even we have faith, our level of determination and, you know, just depending on where we came in from, you know, again, maybe past lives, maybe even be in this life, kind of what kind of condition did we walk into the door of the temple into? It may be very hard for us to have that really kind of fixed determination. So again, that's a process of development. And again, Krishna's explaining in the Gita what is the quality of someone's determination that's developed determination in the mode of goodness, in the mode of sattva. I was coming around to think of that point of being engaged and having that determination and what that determination means. Like Narada Muni, he's been cursed. He can't stay in one place for any longer than 3 days. So that's like our sannyasis. You know, or that's traditionally what a sannyasi should be once he's on the platform of, is that Parikrajakacharya, who travels and preaches? Because there are different kinds of sannyasis. Some take a Kshetra sannyas, which means they're fully in the renounced order, but they stay in one place to preach. Parikrajakacharya, a liberated soul who's going around preaching the glories of the Lord, again, it's said he's supposed to not stay in one place for more than 3 days. And this is good, because he won't get too entangled in too many things, and that's part of the idea, that is the energy is freed up enough to be given a very strong and pure transmission, because people are going to travel and do that. They can't be too much involved too intimately with everybody. It's not possible. So it's a particular role. There's something around that platform of sannyas that we can all take and all relate to or take within ourselves in an internal kind of way. And that platform of sannyas is really about engaging one's body, mind, and words fully in the service of the Lord. That's what it really means. That's what sannyas really means. So sannyas is not something external. So any one of us can choose at any moment to try to develop that determination. Some of you may already have that internal determination and be fixed in it. Others may, you know, like the idea of it, like the sound of that. Yeah, engage the body, mind, and words in the service of the Lord fully. But then when it comes to practical application of that, then, you know, we find ourselves, actually, what have I just been doing? You know, I've been engaged in serving myself and my own self-interest. You know, I just forgot about Krishna. Whilst you're living in the temple, you've got a beautiful, wonderful opportunity. It's such a protected environment in which to have the opportunity to fully absorb one's consciousness, be absorbed in serving Krishna. And there are far, far less distractions than what one will find in householder life. Even so, as Prabhupada would say many times, Maya is very strong. So Maya's not only out there, Maya's everywhere to try and distract us from our determination. That's her service, that's her job. So we may try and gauge our level of spiritual advancement by, you know, here's this bar, here's this standard, body, mind, and words fully engaged in the service of the Lord. And well, you know, if we're not that, then, you know. But another way to look at it, or look at our, gauge our own spiritual advancement, is, well, we may aspire for these things, and we may go off track. It's interesting, the original meaning of the word to sin is to sign. It's I'm not very good at mathematics at all, so I won't get too into it, but the sine is the angle off from the direct point. It's a sine. So to sin is anything that's off the path. So again, we can look at our advancement by, okay, you know, I may have got distracted by something, but how quickly do I get myself back, centered, focused in my determination on what it is I'm actually trying to achieve? How quickly do I do that? Or do the fact that, you know, there are so many distractions and I got distracted by something, does that then lead me somewhere I completely didn't want to be? Because when that happens, that's where Maya's really done her job. It's her job to distract us in so many ways, but does that distraction lead to the point where we then look, we may even catch ourselves, but then we think, oh God, oh, you know, now I'm really out of it. Now, you know, I might as well not even bother. Or, you know, do we remain okay, just back on track? Because as soon as the very second we just do that, then we're back on track. You know, Krishna's not, we've had all these millions of lifetimes, Krishna's not, it's not a big deal to Krishna. We've been doing that for so many births, forgetting him. So, you know, if we have some ways we go off track, you know, do you think that's really matters to Krishna? That's not what Krishna wants to see. Krishna wants to see, you know, how much we are very determined. There's one nice thing I always remember. Tribhuvanath Prabhu always told me, that's one thing that really stuck with me. He just said, Krishna likes a trier, not a quitter. So, you know, that's just one kind of determination. So, I was just having a few reflections because I usually like to try to prepare something I'm going to speak about, but my excuse is I had some preaching engagement over the weekend, and I noticed when Chandramouli Swami was giving class the other day, he also said doesn't like to use the word preaching because it has a certain connotation, and I'm very much of the like mind when it comes to that. I really don't like the word preaching, but I haven't thought of a better one yet. I don't know if anyone's thought of a better word to use than preaching, but you know, if we can't find a better word to use, then at least let us define what we mean by preaching. And I heard something really wonderful the other day I'd like to share with you, and it's a quote from St. Francis of Assisi. So St. Francis said, preach always and speak something when necessary. So what does that mean? You know, what's really the preaching? The preaching is our example. The preaching is what we actually embody. It's who we are. It's not what we're speaking. It's not that we're taking Srimad Bhagavatam or Bhagavad Gita and you have to read this and you have to follow this. I'm not following it, but you read it and you follow it. I don't read it. What kind of effect will that have? And especially being current with the kind of time that we're in now, at least in the circles I'm in and I'm involved in, and where I was at the weekend, was somebody put on a yoga and bhakti festival in Oxford. And it was done in a very selfless way to try and raise money for a charity organization for tribal people in India. That was her motivation behind it. Yet I was very curious to see, it was a 3-day festival, and I was very curious to see how many people would be interested in paying money to come to a field in the middle of nowhere in Oxford. And lo and behold, wasn't that many, but yet still whoever were there were nice people, spiritually seeking people and people who have one form of yoga practice or another and, you know, have kind of devotional inclinations. And the majority of the people there were actually people doing things. So in these kind of environments, when we come in there as devotees, as representatives of Krishna, you know, what is it we're bringing? Are we coming there to tell people something, convert them? Or again, for myself, the type of attitude I'm trying to cultivate in these kind of situations and these environments is that what it is and what's really going to affect people, and especially, I mean, there are different environments. So I'm just qualifying the type of environment I'm in and the type of people that they're in the process of a spiritual awakening. So far my experience shows me that's a lot of what's going on in the planet at this time at the moment. There are a lot of people who are in a process of awakening. Now, that awakening is varying degrees of awakening. Someone, you know, who's sleeping in bed and is just like, you know, that can also qualify as awakening. But they're 99% asleep still, but they're still awakening. They're opening to the idea of the possibility of awakening spiritual consciousness, and to one degree or another they're practicing some kind of spirituality to be in that awakening. Now, many people have all kinds of different ideas of, you know, what spirituality is, and of course there's a big prevalence of impersonal and Mayavada ideas, which is the distinction. This is what Srila Prabhupada's come to teach us. And without these teachings, again, how many of us would have come, you know, we're not going to realize Krishna by our own perception, by our own practice, you know. Krishna's just not going to reveal himself. Krishna is only revealed by the mercy of a pure devotee. So many of these other people engaging in these different spiritual paths and practices, naturally, quite often the inclination or the tendency, because people nowadays really, they like that. They like the idea of not being told. They like the idea of sometimes they like to refer to something traditional, but mostly it's about, you know, making your own spiritual path, having your own realization. And then what I've realized, that's what the truth is. You know, I don't need to hear from you. I don't need to have a religion. Because, you know, I already know, I've realized, I've experienced the oneness, and that's what it is. And that's okay. That in and of itself, it's okay. It's a certain level of realization if one can have a spiritual experience where they realize their oneness with everything. That's an aspect of Krishna. Yet, as we're fully aware, there are different aspects to Krishna. And we're here, we're engaging in bhakti because we're attracted to Krishna in his personal aspect, his personal form, which, as we understand, also resides in the heart as a super soul, but is also a person, the supreme person. And we're recognizing and acknowledging that supreme person, that supreme divinity. I'm not trying to take away that from the fact that, you know, we have a personality and a form, and so does God. He's got many personalities and forms, but he has a supreme one that's supremely attractive, and that's Krishna. So this is what we have to offer people. But what's really going to affect people is what we're embodying in terms of that Krishna consciousness. It's not that we have a lot of book knowledge that, you know, we want to lecture people with. That's sometimes appropriate in certain, maybe more academic kind of situations, but with these people who are already kind of spiritually awakening, what's going to really impress them is how much light you're actually embodying. That's what's going to attract people when they see that, wow, these people, they've really got something. You know, there's something there I don't have. So what is that? That's Krishna's love. So we can only really share that if we're accessing that for ourselves as well. And how do we access that? It's really through the power of the holy name. I was read one other nice quote recently. My spiritual master was saying that unless we really allow the holy name to penetrate deep into our hearts, doesn't matter how much we try to control our, you know, our bad qualities, our lust, our anger, our greed, all of these things, they'll keep coming back unless we really allow the holy name to penetrate deep in our hearts. So that's the importance of really, really taking shelter of the holy name. To get that absorption. And then drink the nectar of that experience, that we actually experience it. It's not just something we believe and we practice, but we actually really deeply taste it. So again, as you're living in the temple, you have the possibility to come to that level of absorption. Otherwise, it's like digging a well for water and always digging, but only going on the surface and never going down to the depths where you get water from the well. So we understand as well that in our practice of our sadhana, because it's a twofold thing. It's one thing to be engaged in Prabhupada's mission, because Prabhupada has a mission, and if we're in this movement, that's what we're submitting ourselves to do, be servants of Srila Prabhupada's mission. But even that mission is twofold. That's for ourselves to become Krishna conscious, and it's also to share Krishna consciousness with others. So within that process of sadhana, Jai Shri Shri Radha Gokula Nanda Sitaram Lakshman Hanuman Shri Shri Gaura Nitai Ki Jai. If we don't practice our sadhana deeply enough, how will we ever get the revelation of Krishna? Now we understand that the true attitude towards that is we're not trying to see Krishna. We're trying to serve Krishna in such a way that Krishna will reveal himself to us. But nonetheless, that is the actual process of chanting the holy name. That when we chant the holy name, when we come to a certain level of absorption of chanting the pure holy name, that is the next stage, that through the name, Krishna reveals his form. That's our philosophy, that's our practice. So again, that should be our internal aspiration, that we're chanting, and that someday we'll get to see Krishna face to face. And again, it's not up to us, it's up to Krishna. But in one sense, it's up to us how eager we are for that. You know, do we hear that and think, yeah, but that's never going to happen to me? Or do we think, wow, God, you know, I could actually see Krishna face to face, and I'm going to really chant because, you know, I like to see Krishna. And just admit, Prabhupada's seeing Krishna. So when Prabhupada speaks, and when Prabhupada hears people speaking Mayavad and stuff like that, he's so furious because he's seen, he knows Krishna. So how much convinced are we actually that Krishna exists as a person? We have faith, but because we haven't seen Krishna, it's like sometimes that faith can get wobbled sometimes. But imagine we've actually had that revelation of Krishna through the name. So that's our internal mood. And that's part of our mission of being devotees, is to develop that degree of Krishna consciousness. But then imagine having that degree of Krishna consciousness, then going out with that to share that with others. And that's really what we have to share. And that's really what people are looking for, actually, but they don't know. Everyone's actually looking for Krishna and that beautiful, loving relationship with Krishna. There's nothing sweeter in this world than beautiful, sweet, loving exchanges, loving relationships. And that was really nice to hear. I only caught the end of it. Sureshwar, isn't it? Gave class the other day, and he was just reminding us that Srila Prabhupada created the ISKCON Society just for the purpose of these six loving exchanges. And, you know, oftentimes I'm thinking about our society and, you know, sometimes try, you know, with an eye of discernment, it's important not to get too critical about things, but, you know, devotees should have an eye of discernment as well. And there's, you know, there are ways in which our society can improve, and there are ways in which our society, and in particularly Bhaktivedanta Manor, is flourishing. Yet, you know, sometimes I wonder for myself, you know, how much do I like to identify myself as a Hare Krishna or a member of ISKCON, you know. And for me, that's about, I don't like people just be able to let, oh, he's a Hare Krishna. Because particularly here in England, we're a household name. You know, lots of people, and again, particularly in the circles, I mean, people know Hare Krishna, they know something about Krishna. But, you know, I'm a Hare Krishna, you can immediately just be pigeonholed into, oh, you know, that's what you are, that's your little box, you're just like, you know, something, and that something may be like, oh, you're just a religious fanatic or whatever. So there's some work to be done to kind of change people's impressions, and some of that's around because devotees' behavior in the past hasn't been ideal in our passionate enthusiasm that we've tried to spread Krishna consciousness. It's given people a lot of bad impressions. So it's up to us now to change that around by being in a very high level of integrity whenever we go out to share Krishna consciousness with others. And I mean, that's a nice definition. That's a nice way to talk about preaching. We're sharing our Krishna consciousness with others, but we're going to say that every time. So it's not quite succinct as you to use the word to preach. So there's a couple of other things I wanted to share in that regard. Last week I was out with Janavi as well. Somebody I know was launching a book they'd written, and the artist does to organize some kirtan. So I took Janavi there, and it's Kripa Moya's daughter. And she was sharing with me her experience now of how she's finding herself, you know, it's not from her own desire, but people are pushing her forward to be in the forefront of doing things, kirtans and this whole Kirtan London thing and many things like that. So she shared with me that she was seeking some advice from Sachinandan Swami. And Sachinandan Swami, he told her that, so now you should meditate that everything else that you're doing in your life is preparation for those moments where you're in the limelight, in the forefront. Because then when your meditation is like that, that everything that you're doing is in that integrity, then in those moments where you come to sing, you come to do whatever, you're in the spotlight, that's what comes through. And when it's like that, when a devotee is fully in their power of their integrity, when they come to speak, when they come to lead a kirtan, it's powerful. And that's what it really means, to have that integrity, that body, mind and words is fully engaged in the service of the Lord. Our inside and then our outside, what we speak, it's one and the same. It's two things. It's not two things. It's simultaneously one and different. Anyway, I hope you get my point. And in that regard also, I've got just one other nice quote. I saved it on my phone that I saw the other day. This is from Bhaktisiddhanta Saraswati Thakur. And this is his advice. Do not hear from mouths of persons lacking proper conduct. If your conduct is below par, you should not publicly preach about the Lord. Close the door and preach to yourself. Bhajan really begins when one's outside and inside are the same. So I'd never heard that one before. It's a really nice quote. And and we've taken from that, because Srila Prabhupada, in starting this movement, he really wanted to start something. So he was kicking us all out the door in any condition to go out there and preach. So it's important to maintain that mood, because if you don't share what you've received, you'll lose it. You'll not keep it for yourself. And then the more we're concerned with sharing Krishna consciousness with others, then actually the more concerned Krishna is with sharing Krishna consciousness, sharing himself with us. That's the reciprocation that we get. But yet still, particularly now as we've grown, it's just important to really understand on a deeper level what it means to share Krishna consciousness. And if we're really out of our integrity, what is the quality of what we're sharing? and better not to, better just to close the door and, you know, develop your own level of Krishna consciousness, so when it comes to the point that we're opening our mouths, we've really got something of quality to share with others. I'm going to end there. Ask if there's any time for questions or any points for discussion.